Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 129. My name is John. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. Many years ago, I read a couple of books that gave profound insights into the horrors of life. In one book, The Hot Zone, I read what I believe to be one of the worst things that nature can do to a human being, as it went into graphic detail of the final stages of the hemorrhagic fever known as the Ebola virus. The other book, Mindhunter, provided me with a nightmare-inducing account of what one person can do to another. Something so utterly vile, I will not mention it here. These accounts serve as a reminder for me how much life can kick your ass if it really wants to. We can't do anything about nature, though science fiction likes to give us hope we one day might. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tidal waves, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, ice ages, greenhouse ages. These are all things nature throws at us. And that's not even including other life forms nature created out there that could potentially affect us, potentially kill us. From predators to viruses. Remember that shit next time Earth Day rolls around. Then there's our fellow human beings, from the megalomaniacs trying to control every aspect of your life, to their spiteful sycophants who support them with their votes and money. The greedy rich who use their wealth to prevent competition. The greedy poor who think they deserve to take what somebody else has rightfully earned. Not to mention the tyrants, warlords, fascists, the self-righteous theocrats, sexual predators, bigots, con men, and wantonly ignorant. Remember that next time Election Day rolls around. Everything I do, everything you do, all boils down to our reactions to things that nature or other human beings choose to do. A driver not paying attention to his red traffic light hits you while you're trying to make a left turn. Nature drops an inch of snow on San Antonio and the entire town pretty much shuts down. That's not to say it's all bad, obviously. Nature also sends a cool, dry autumn day after months of hot, humid summer, and I react quite positively. An entrepreneur opens up a new donut shop, and a dozen people get new jobs. And I get donuts. I've talked several times over the past 10 years about the origins of this podcast. This podcast began as a way to vent my anger and frustrations at the consequences of the government's economic intervention back in 2008 and 2009. I'll stay away from a lot of the nuances here, but what it boils down to is the megacorporation I worked for back then took billions of dollars in stimulus money that was designed, according to the government, to save and create jobs. Within months of taking that government money, that megacorporation laid off 11,000 people, including myself. I looked and listened to the despotic Democrats who threw lower and middle class people under the bus while they dined with the CEOs who supported their schemes. I looked and listened to the two-faced Republicans who I had mostly supported prior to 2008, blatantly criticize a second stimulus under Obama when they fully supported the first stimulus under Bush. Why did it get so bad in 2008? Well, that goes back to something that some people did. In 2001, 20 men hijacked 4 airplanes, plowed 2 of them into the World Trade Center buildings, 1 into the Pentagon, and the last failed because passengers revolted and crashed the plane into a field in Pennsylvania. At least, that's the major event that led to the 2008 financial crisis. There were other factors, but that was the trigger. The terror attacks of 9/11 have their own string of events leading up to that fateful day. Because of what those 20 people did, because of the attacks, the fear of the citizenry, the subsequent wars, and uncertainty of recovery, we found ourselves with a failing economy. So the politicians did what they did, and I ended up losing my job. Flash forward a dozen years later, and this time, nature threw the curveball. The coronavirus has been around for quite some time. Just like other respiratory diseases like the flu, new strains come out every year as the virus naturally mutates. In fact, there was a brief scare in 2013 where a particular strain killed over half the people who had been infected, but as quickly as it appeared, the strain was gone. These viruses do that sometimes, just flare up and then disappear. Ebola is infamous for that. We started hearing about a particularly bad coronavirus strain late in 2019 that was affecting the citizens of Wuhan, China. It was so bad, the government forced a lockdown of the city, complete with the delivery of provisions to residents and trucks spraying disinfectant in an effort to halt the disease, despite one leaked video of the citizens shouting that it was fake. However, the virus can take up to 14 days before the infected show symptoms, so by the time officials even knew they had a potential pandemic on their hands, it was already being spread across the Asian continent and across the globe. Health officials worldwide shouted the red alert. In the United States, the media reported the death rate for the disease at 3.4%, compared to the death rate of influenza of 0.1%. We had a disease exponentially more fatal than the flu strain that killed 61,000 people in the United States just 2 years prior. Early on, they told us this had the potential to kill millions in the United States. The pandemic was coming. So the panic began. We live just a couple miles away from one of the largest grocery stores in the state of Texas. It is built on 44 acres, nearly 1,200 parking spaces, and the store itself is 182,000 square feet. I got a text from my wife relaying information from a coworker who was there to get supplies in advance of the coming disease. The lines for the checkout extended to the back of the store. Other news reports started to come in about fights breaking out and people getting shot over provisions. I wasn't worried about getting sick. I was worried about getting killed while trying to find a goddamn can of soup. Then the word came of the first people infected in the United States, in Texas, in my hometown of San Antonio. One of the first cases in the city turned out to be the mother of one of my coworkers, who then went into self-quarantine. I had stood next to him in the men's room at the sinks while washing hands just 2 days prior to the news. A couple of days later, we got word that the coworker had become infected, and we were all to work from home. While places like South Korea and Sweden had a relatively restrained approach to the disease that proved successful in keeping their countries functioning and citizens healthy, the United States chose instead the path of Italy, imposing quarantines. For the next several weeks, panicked clients called us while we took care of their COVID-related issues. We did our best to take care of them, but once the existing issues were resolved, the business dried up. Our company lost 98% of its revenue once COVID hit. Our hours were reduced by 40% and then an additional 20%. Many people were furloughed, but some were just laid off. Every few weeks, as the pandemic and fear continued, a few more were laid off. People I worked with, people I cared about, were losing their jobs. A divorced mother of two preteens just gotten a high-paying job that allowed her to move out of her parents' house and provide a new home for her and her children. She's lost her job due to COVID, had to move back in with her parents, and is now planning to risk everything on a change of vocations. A widowed mother of two teenagers dealing with pre-existing health issues. A disabled man with multiple health issues, sharing an apartment with a friend, simply trying to keep the bills paid, and that was before the pandemic hit. A 65-year-old woman, the field she's been in for decades, has been devastated by the COVID panic. There are no jobs available in her field. If anything, more losses are coming. Unless the jobs return, she'll have to start all over in a new field as a senior citizen. Every couple of weeks, I'd get another farewell email from a coworker or see a friend's post on social media delivering the bad news. Then my boss called. She had already given us the news that she was being let go. But a teammate and I would be joining her. This time, I wrote the farewell email to my coworkers. For the second time in my life, I lost my job because of government reactions to a crisis. Prior to 2008, I would laugh when George Carlin said, "I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, don't believe anything government tells me." I would laugh because in my mind I was thinking about the other side of the political aisle. Those liberals over there? Hell no, I don't believe anything they tell me. They're just a bunch of liars and control freaks. I couldn't see the obvious truth up until that intellectual awakening after I lost my job and started thinking critically. Now I laugh because I understand the true meaning. You can't trust anyone in the government, even the ones you may vote for. I don't believe anything the government tells me. I don't believe anything the left-wing media says. I don't believe anything the right-wing media says. The absolute best I will ever get from any of them is maybe a half-truth, an incomplete story. That 3.4% COVID death rate that was reported, that was the rate from confirmed cases. The 0.1 influenza rate was from estimated cases. The death rate for COVID from estimated cases runs anywhere from 0.1% to 0.4%, depending upon how they want to crunch the numbers. For the remainder of this podcast, I'm going to go with 0.35%, since I predicted that back in March. Even at the high end, COVID is not exponentially more deadly than flu, but rather maybe 4 times worse. Science doesn't matter to the panicky people. The only science that matters to them is what supports their political agenda. I'm not panicking. I know there's still the chance of death. I'm just willing to acknowledge the truth about the real risk. Unfortunately, people are living up to Agent K's assessment as dumb, panicky, dangerous animals. They all too willingly sit back and wait for their government saviors to tell them what to think and how to act. Oh, government is just going to send out a new stimulus and solve everything. I even hear that from my own friends and former co-workers. They're just echoing what the politicians are trying to sell us. Where's this fucking money gonna come from? If there are tens of millions of people being laid off because of this panic you propagate, where is the government going to get the money? From the rest of you still employed? Oh, I'm sure you'll dig deep into your fucking pockets and offer to pay more taxes. No, you think the money just magically appears. We're already $25 trillion in debt. And you think that digging the hole deeper is the solution. You think a virus with an estimated death rate of 0.35% gives you carte blanche to make it worse. Never let a crisis go to waste. Well, you and your politicians sure didn't waste time spreading fear to your advantage. Everyone, panic, panic, panic! Don't stop! Keep being afraid! Don't go out if you don't need to! Don't interact with people! Close down restaurants! Close down bars! Call the cops on houses that have gatherings of more than 10 people! We will come and arrest you if you dare to gather in a group! Oh, what's that? You're staging a protest that benefits us politically? Oh, in that case, go ahead. I know. You're immune from COVID if you're protesting. Yeah, that'll fly. Small business owners, devastated. The restaurant industry, devastated. The travel industry, devastated. 10. 20, 30 million people out of work. But that's okay, because they're not essential. Fuck you. I say any job that puts food on the table is essential. But according to our government, it's almost like a modern rewrite of Animal Farm. All animals are essential, but some are more essential than others. By the way, if the workers aren't considered essential, then neither are their taxes. Anyone who is not considered essential should not have to pay taxes in 2020. Oh no, you say. That's not fair. Fuck you. Take away from those who have and give it to those who don't. That's your doctrine. That's your socialism. Or do you only support that ideology when it's advantageous to you? What do you think's going to happen when socialism takes hold and things really get bad? Besides, we all know that once this shit is finally over and we get back to work, our taxes will be raised because the money for unemployment benefits was never really there. We'll have to pay back the loan you insisted government take out. I'm sure all you politicians will say you did such a great job helping us, you'll give yourself raises. So, stop. Just all of you bleeding hearts, stop acting like you care. Stop acting like you aren't ignoring every voice other than the one that tells you that your government saviors will take care of everything, so long as you comply with their orders and tattle on anyone who doesn't. Now we got Joe Biden, or more specifically, the person who operates Joe Biden's Twitter account, telling us that if he were in charge, things would have been so much better. Oh, really? Joe Biden and the rest of the Democrat Party were adamantly against Trump when he banned flights from the country where the COVID outbreak originated. Tell me, if preventing the spread of the disease is a priority, why didn't you support the prevention of bringing potentially affected people into the country? If keeping the high-risk people safe is so fucking important, why didn't you stop a member of your own party from putting COVID patients amongst high-risk senior citizens in nursing homes? How many thousands of people died needlessly because of that? I don't think Trump or the governors of the states handled the situation well, so don't think this is some kind of endorsement for the Republicans. But this whole notion that any Democrat would have done anything that was different and that would have made anything better is bad comedy. Now Draco Biden has the gall to say that if he becomes president, he's going to mandate masks across the nation. I mean, forget the fact that he has no constitutional authority to do so. Just understand that this megalomaniac in politician's clothing thinks that all he has to do is tell you what to do and you're obligated to do it. Just as a reminder, here's a brief oral timeline of the CDC mask issue. March 2020. Masks are useless. It's stupid to wear them. April 2020. Oh, shit. Masks may help everybody wear them now. Now, goddammit, now! May 2020. We have found no evidence that masks help at all, but we're gonna recommend them anyway to cover our own asses. See, the Democratic Party and all its sycophants have dusted off their "we believe in science" mantra. They do. They do believe in science. If it suits them. If it suits their agenda. When someone comes along and disputes or disproves their science, they simply ignore it. Pretend like it isn't there. Hey, media! You know that report from the CDC that says masks are useless? Yeah, don't mention that on your news. Thanks. I guarantee you that if Hillary Clinton had become president, right now we would have at least 30 million people out of work and just as many COVID deaths, if not more. She would be doing everything she could to reopen businesses as fast as possible to save her presidency. She would cite the CDC reports stating masks don't help. She'd be trying to move us to a Sweden-style model. Of course, every Republican and their supporters would be demanding masks and isolation and claiming she's directly responsible for killing 200,000 people. So, fuck you, you fucking hypocrites. The right wing have deluded themselves into believing that the current administration has handled the COVID pandemic as best as could be done. The left wing have deluded themselves into believing their side would have done anything appreciably different. Welcome to 2020 America, where herd mentality triumphs over herd immunity. Give me the politicians and members of the media who say, I've read reports from all sides, not only the ones that support my political agenda. I know there are risks. You should know there are risks as well. I'll give you my point of view, but you should not only listen to me to form your opinion. You should listen to other points of view. Most importantly, though, you should do your own research and ask your own questions to healthcare professionals and experts. Outside of Ben Swan, can you think of anyone in the media who says these things? Outside of Joe Jorgensen and the Libertarian Party, can you think of any politician or anyone currently in office saying these things? You sure as hell aren't hearing them from the Republicans, Democrats, or any of their media shills. Here's the best part, folks. I've spent the last few months, when I've had the time, to read articles on COVID and read reports the CDC has released. I've asked questions of my doctor and of my friends in the medical field. I get differing opinions from them. Some think masks work. Others think they're shit. Some say we need to be afraid, be very afraid. Some think we should have already gotten back to normal. The people who are experts on health and disease can't even agree. What makes you think a politician knows best? Here's my solution. Nobody wants to hear it, but I got one. The coronavirus is not going away. There is a COVID-19, there will be a COVID-20, 21, 22, and so on. It will continue to mutate to varying degrees of success, by its standards, on humanity. Accept the fact that there will be no end to disease. Americans, especially the ones in larger cities where the virus spreads more readily, have ample access to contactless delivery services for any provisions you may need. Amazon can deliver pretty much anything you want to your doorstep. You can get meals from any restaurant you want from a delivery service. If you are in a high-risk category, then you should already be doing what you feel you need to do to avoid contact with anyone else. Any risk you choose to take, any outing to visit people, any contact with the outside world, is on you. But you're high risk. I trust you that you have made informed choices. If you are not in a high-risk category, but are paralyzed by fear of a disease with a 0.35% death rate, then you should not leave your residence for any reason whatsoever. I'm serious. If it is that bad, do not go out at all. Do not go anywhere. You may inhale the air that was exhaled by someone else who might be infected. The CDC has said that there is no evidence masks help. They're basically saying to wear them just to cover their own ass. As people exhale, no matter how much of their face is covered, some will escape into the air. And some studies show that it can linger for up to 2 hours. In stagnant air. For the same reasons, do not allow anyone into your dwelling that has been out in public. Sequester yourself completely because you cannot guarantee that you will not be exposed if you leave your dwelling. Now that everyone with actual health risks is safely tucked away, and all those fearful have shut themselves off as they should, then let the rest of us get out and live our lives. let every business open under their own guidelines. If a business wants to let people in without a mask, then so be it. I went to a restaurant today where we were required to use their hand sanitizer and have our temperature taken before we were even allowed inside. If that's what the business wants to do, then that's fine with me. It must be their decision. And I will then make my decision on whether or not I want to patronize the business. Freedom to choose, goddammit. I am willing to risk the 0.35% chance of death in order to get out and live my life. I've read the studies, not just listened to what politicians and pundits have told me. I've seen the statistics, and I've made my decision. I'd rather live with the risk of death than simply continue to exist in false security. Accepting personal responsibility, motherfuckers. And if in 3 weeks' time I am dead from the coronavirus, then so be it. I consider it a win-win. All you little fearmongers win because you'll get the only thing you really want. And that is for people to die so you can say you were right and so your political party gains power. And me? I would win too. I would win because I wouldn't have to put up with you sniveling fuckers any longer. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.